I want to walk through a couple of announcements, kind of get us focused in. Big deal, 4th of July. Everyone, I see all fingers, I think we're okay. Nobody lost an eye. Brian, how did you police Little Rock to keep the fireworks under control?
No.
Yeah, you were off. Yeah, how do you do that? You don't.
Right.
So it was pretty eventful in our neighborhood. So things are going very, very well at the clinic. Thank you for your prayers and your support. We do have some openings, and looks like God is going to be bringing someone else to help to do some of the counseling, the workload. So really excited about that. Please pray for God's favor on that. Wednesday night, wow, the book of Revelation. We are digging in, and we tackle the first part of chapter 14, and we'll finish it out this coming Wednesday. But it is fascinating, and the journey has been very, very deep for me personally to work through this letter, this book, and it is opening my eyes to the incredible courage the early church had as they faced a culture that was profoundly anti-Christian and how they handled that. Pretty amazing. If you want to be a part, you can do it here live or by Zoom as well. This morning, I want to focus in on just our thoughts, what we're thinking, what we value between our ears, what we focus on, and how that affects us. It affects us personally in our relationships. And, you know, it seems like we're in a culture of lies. And that might sound really harsh and negative, certainly sounds that way. But, you know, can we trust Facebook? Is Facebook, we're getting the, no, is that a good platform by which we can discern truth and virtue? And is there a news outlet that you think does a truly, truly responsible job at reporting things accurately? And some of you might say, well, the obvious choice number one is Fox News. Others might say, no, they're just as manipulative and spin doctoring as everybody else, as the current narrative network or whatever that thing is called. I'm not sure what that is. Thank you for the chuckle. So, where do we get truth? Do we get it from each other? Is it about opinions? You know, what about the NFL? I was talking to somebody yesterday. They said, well, I'm boycotting the NFL, you know, and what's going on and all this stuff, you know. And so opinions and noses, everybody's got an opinion. What would happen if we focused in on truth? And what if we kept God's grace in perspective? That's what it's about this morning. Keeping God's grace in perspective. So it's going to be good. And I know I need it. And so I want to pray and ask for God's favor. Lord, you are kind. You are good beyond description. And I want to say thank you for every person that's here. Those listening, watching in on live stream, would your spirit just work deeply in all our lives right now? Please, thank you. Love you and bless now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, what we focus on? I want you to look at this. This is a postcard. Hey, Steve and Linda. Postcard that is dated July 12, 1944. 1944. Now, this is my wife, Lisa. This is her mother. She's in Lincoln Acres, which is south of San Diego, and her husband has been deployed to the Pacific Theater. He's a Marine. He trained at San Diego. And Frances, Lisa's mom, is worried. Her parents are worried about Frances. And so she's writing them to tell them not to worry. Now, what I want you to do, let me get the pointer out here. Well, I thought I was going to get the pointer out. It has been so long since I've done this, actually. She said, look at this. Don't look for me until you see me coming. She said, sometimes it takes a month to get a reservation on a bus to go from San Diego, California to Batesville, Arkansas. And so she was telling her parents, don't expect me. And I thought that was really insightful. We're in the middle of World War II, the European theater, the Pacific theater. Reports are coming in of casualties, the raw realities of a global war. She's dealing with all that. Her husband, they were married, what, 3 weeks, Lisa? 3 weeks they were married, and he's in San Diego and then deploys. He was with the Marine Corps, island hopping is what he was doing, all right? That's her world. Do you think that's stressful? By the way, she worked at a munitions factory. She was a Rosie the Riveter gal, is what Frances was doing in San Diego. She said, "Don't expect me until you see me coming." Do you think there's wisdom in that? You know, I can get a text from you in a second, it seems. You're a tech guy, nanoseconds. And I feel obligated to respond back in 2 seconds. Can you imagine? Sometimes it takes a month to get a reservation for a bus. Just don't expect me until you see me coming. And then, wow, what a mindset. What a kind of reining in of emotions, reining in of expectations. So with that in mind, I thought, hey, that would be a good idea to present that to you, a good concept. And from that, we could jump into what Paul says about reining in some expectations and about how to kind of get our minds focused on things that are really essential. I want to read Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to begin at verse 1 and read to verse 9 so you can appreciate what Paul is saying. This is what Paul the Apostle writes about a small church struggling in a culture that is very, very anti-Christian. So therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, whom I long to see, my joy and crown. By the way, some people say Philippians church was his favorite church. You're my joy and crown. In this way, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, my true friend, my true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. Rein in some expectations. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, the peace of God that can go beyond a culture of violence, the peace of God that can go beyond a global war, the peace of God that can go beyond a pandemic. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, my brothers and my sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. There's something I want you to appreciate. Paul's emphasis on the God of peace, the God of peace, the God of peace, says it 3 times, is in direct contrast to 2 women who can't get along, Euodia and Syntyche. We really don't know, Terry, a lot about these gals. Some scholars say they may be at deacon level or even possibly pastoral level or some kind of significant leadership in church. The church that started in Lydia's home, or possibly the church grew enough that it had to go to 2 separate homes, and you've got the Euodia church competing with the Syntyche church, and there's a fuss going on between these 2 gals. We don't know exactly what it's about, but it's so bad that it's caused a breach in the relationship, and it's so intense that Paul believes it's actually hurting the church. Okay, Now, we've been here a long time, those of us who are older, and we've seen church buses and splits, and it could be over the silliest things to sometimes very, very profound things, very egregious things. And the church has to deal with those matters. You know, whether you're of the persuasion, you're a conspiratorialist, and you believe it is the Wuhan virus, and it's a plandemic, and it's all a strategy to deconstruct the global economy. You know, where are the Avengers when you need them? You know, you're of that camp. Or you're of the other camp. No, stuff happens, and this virus formed out of a wet market, and we all get it, and some of us live and die, and we have to adapt to it. And it's the new way of doing life on planet Earth. Okay, we've got lots of opinions. And even that argument can get heated. But this one here between these two gals was so bad that Paul actually wrote their names. Paul wrote the names of two women. Sounds maybe arrogant on behalf of the male. Okay, from your perspective, yes. But from Paul's perspective and in Paul's world, you typically, if you're going to write, you don't write about women. You just don't do it. There's no need to. It's a male-dominated culture, and problem identification, problem solving, the work of men. So when you write about women, it's either because they're really, really good, Paul does it, Romans 16, or they're really, really bad. Okay, that's why Paul did. Guess what? This is bad. This is bad. These two ladies are not getting along, and it's damaging the church to the point that he's actually recruiting a friend, my true companion, and it's a mystery who that guy is. Could be the pastor. We don't know. But I'm asking you to help these two ladies get along. And then Paul gives a virtue list of how that's going to actually happen. All right. So let's walk through these words. So Paul says, whatever is true. By the way, the first six here, they're adjectives. Whatever is true. Now, this doesn't mean in some strange metaphysical sense. This means what is factually true, of the truth, of truthfulness. Whatever is true, I want you to think about that. Whatever is honorable, that term semna can be defined as that which is dignified, that which is respectable, when you carry an air of dignity and honor, that which is right, dukaya, right in all senses, spiritually right, morally right, ethically right, politically right, all that is right and good, that which is pure, not hard, that which is pure, the absence of things that corrupt it, that which is lovely. By the way, that was the only time it's used in the New Testament, and by the way, you can't find it in the Greco-Roman world at this time, that word. It's like Paul made up a word. It's really fascinating, prosphile. And it's hard to describe because there's not precedent, but it has something to do with this kind of beauty that is deep and genuine. Let me give you a very base kind of idea of what I think Paul is getting at. He's talking about character and this stuff on the inside of the human heart that when it is, in fact, honorable and good and right, something attractive happens. For example, I think we can all appreciate that we Westerners, we live in a culture where we're fixated on external looks, right? And we're constantly assessing who's good looking and who's not so good looking. We do it all the time. Who are we kidding? And we some of us don't care how we look in culture, and you'll go to Walmart with curlers in your hair. Or, you know, you'll go to Walmart in your jammies or something. Others, you have to do your hair. You've got to be clean shaven, get your makeup on, get great clothes to pop into Kroger real quick. Because you want people to see you, and they want you to see you at your best. All right, let's take that idea about external appearance. Have you ever known someone that on the outside is actually not very attractive at all? They're not what we would say as Westerners, good looking. They will not make the billboard. They're not going to make the cover of the magazine. Not going to happen. Okay. Can I just get this out? I will never be on the cover of GQ standing next to George Clooney. Okay. You laugh like we already knew that. Okay. Thanks. You just hurt my feelings. But I'm moving past that. So, you know, there's some people not so good looking, right? But when you relate to them, and you experience their heart, you go, they are lovely. There's something so attractive about them. I'm drawn to them. And then have you ever known people that you would say, wow, they would make the billboard, they would make the cover of the magazine, and you can't stand to be around them? Prasphile, something so lovely on the inside, a beauty that is virtuous, that you find it attractive. So this is what Paul is saying. Whatever is lovely, prasphile, whatever has a good report attached to it, a reputation, good repute. And then Paul grabs this word, erete, number 7. There's any excellence. By the way, Paul has been heavily influenced by the Greek world. He studied at a Greek university at Tarsus. Paul is brilliant, and he knows Greek culture, and Paul knows Roman culture. And he grabs the word erete, virtue. Now, you got to understand something. That is like the word that gets at all of Greek culture. It's the one word, you grab that, you've just pulled in an entire culture consumed with the idea of virtue. That is Greece. That is Rome. And it's really amazing that as a Christian, Paul would grab erete, virtue, out of the dominant concept and pull it in and kind of baptize it and make it a Christian word. It's fascinating. You want to give it a go this morning? You want to try it? You ready? Political correctness. You think that gets at culture? Sure it does. Is it kind of a dominant concept in our culture? All right, let's baptize it. Let's take it in and make it Christian. If we're going to baptize that word and make it Christian, I know, work with me. Work with me, Justin. What could be said? What if we Christianize the concept? I'm not a liberal. I'm making us think. Hold me. Or stay with me. Hold it. What is significant about that concept? What's another way of understanding that concept?
Do not offend.
Is that such a bad thing? How about this?
Yes.
Be sensitive. Well, it can be, right. But how about this? Be sensitive. Just be sensitive. What if I am vertically challenged? Just work with me. What if, Linda, and your husband loves to tell short jokes? Not that that would ever happen. And what if Linda said, Steve, maybe you should be a little more sensitive. Okay, you get what I'm saying? You can take a cultural concept like political correctness, you can pull it in and get the heart of Jesus on it. You go like, you know what? Maybe we do say some things sometimes that are pretty rude. Maybe we do say some things with a complete sense of a lack of common sense on how we could be heard and understood. Brian, that's your world. Every day. That's all the time. Boy, you better be careful, right? It's going to be on mic too, by the way, and video. Let's learn to be wise and be sensitive. Okay, now that you got that concept, that's what Paul does. He just takes the word erete, the dominant concept in all of the Greco world, and he takes it to the cross and says, you know what? We Christians ought to be profoundly virtuous. We should have virtue. There should be something about us that makes us unique, makes us different. And I can't think of anyone's character that has more virtue than Jesus Christ. Many scholars, Charlie Newell and many, many others, brilliant scholars, they say that the idea of virtue isn't so much that you have the virtue of being a good word worker, a good guitar player, or something like that. It goes beyond that. It has to do with virtue that hits a level of excellence. It's the most ideal forms of virtue. And then Paul says, if there's anything worthy of praise, and then Paul drops it hard. He brings in a verb that's a power verb. And he says, essentially translate this into English, for your own sake. It's a middle voice for your own sakes. I'm commanding you to do that. For your own sake, think about these things. All right, now, can you make a jump? Can you see how these eight things, truthfulness, what is honorable and dignified, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what has a good reputation attached to it, what is excellent, virtues that are excellent, and what is worthy of praise. Could you see, can you see how that would transform the relationship between Euodia and Syntyche? Can I give you some real practical wisdom from a gray-haired old man who's tired? When you're bitter and when you're angry, you can find something wrong with anyone and anything. When you're bitter and when you're angry, you can find something wrong with anything, anyone, as well as yourself. And at that point, pretty hard to live with. Pretty hard, pretty tough. But when you're full of this, wow, that's attractive. I want to be with that person. Someone who's true and honorable, right and pure and lovely and good, and there's excellence of character and worthy of praise. That's when relationships get really, really good. So, let's move to practical application. Have you ever noticed that how many people are jumping off of Facebook? They can't stand it anymore. They can't stand it because it's like it's the opposite of this. And they're jumping off of news sites and all this stuff. They're fasting from the internet because the stuff that's going on there and what it's doing to our brains, it's like intellectual cancer. It's like it's killing us. It's just eating away at our whatever it is between our ears, and it's making us miserable people, and we're living in fear and anxiety and all this stuff. And you know what? I just want to say, hey, good idea. Fast from it. Get off of this stuff. And focus on these things. Things that are true. All right, you ready? I want to go live. We're going to do live application. And I want you to try to identify things that are true. All right, Stephen and those men in the electronics here. Facebook Live, if you're watching on Facebook, I want you to join in, whether it's asking a question, giving a comment. If you're going to focus on true things that move us toward Christ, that move us toward good relationships, let's counsel ourselves. What's true? Think of some things that are true. What would it be that we could think about? Brian's gathering his heart. Yeah.
Vulnerability is your truth. And to be vulnerable is confession.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Brian. Yeah. It's a big deal, huh? You know, I have been told that the fortress of our fake sense of self doesn't help people much. But a bridge of honesty really does help people. Yeah. What else? Things that are truthful, true. What else that we could think about?
Kindness to your fellow man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. On an everyday basis. Yeah. The little things that we want to do.
Yeah.
Be kind, be nice to people.
Yeah, it's not hard, is it? Yeah, it's not hard. You know, I think this is truth right here. And I mean, an unquestioned. I believe this is truth. I believe this is God's heart on paper. I do confess right away, by the way, there's things in here that are really difficult to understand. I get that. I do. And it takes a lot of work to deal with some of those things. But you know what? The plain sense makes sense. And it's not that hard. You don't have to go to seminary to understand the Bible, okay? You don't. That's a myth, or that's an excuse. It's not that hard. I believe this is the living, breathing Word of God. I believe it's a lie. Okay, what about things that are honorable? What about that? What's honorable?
Be a person of conviction, or doing what you say you're going to do.
Yeah.
Even when it's uncomfortable or not convenient.
Yeah, being a man of your word, a woman of your word. Yeah, doing what's honorable. Yeah, yeah. The honor of a uniform, the honor of a badge. What that means. Terry, we were looking through some of Catherine's wedding photos, and there was a shot the photographer made of you in your uniform, and you looked Semna, dignified and honorable in your uniform, and that amazing mustache that comes through the room before you do. It's an amazing thing. So Semna, honorable, yeah. How about this? That which is right. What do you think, Philip? What do you think? That which is right.
I was just going to add on whatever God puts value in.
Yeah. 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 Okay, Philip, that's brilliant. What does God put value in? God puts value in forgiving our enemies and puts value in blessing our persecutors. Right. Evidently, Euodia and Syntyche had a hard time hearing that. What about that which is pure? Hagna. That which is pure. Pure things. What's something pure that we could think about that we could concentrate on?
Babies.
What's that?
Babies.
Nothing more pure. Yeah. I've got a friend whose baby was preemie, is at Children's Hospital. And I think it's day 115, I think, at Children's Hospital in the NICU. And my friend posted a picture of the first time this preemie's smile was captured on film, click, and that little baby with tubes seemingly going everywhere is smiling. And it's like, wow, that's pure, that's beautiful. What about prosphila, that really, really challenging word, that which is lovely? What's lovely to you? What do you think of? What's that? Anybody? Anybody online, on Facebook? Oh, it's just lovely. I know we've got a lag, 30-second lag. So.
We've got a comment from Jennifer Burgess. Says, things that are true, we feel so out of control now, but we've never actually been in the ultimate control anyway. And that's actually good because we serve a sovereign, loving God who is in control.
Yeah, yeah. Can I present something, first of all, for the grin of it, but then for the... we got to get at this thing. The kingdom of God, is it teetering on near collapse if Trump wins in November? If Joe Biden wins in November, is it, oh, the kingdom of God is going to spin off its axis and the universe will fall apart? No, no. The truth is that God is God and he is on the throne. And when you read Psalm 2, it says, the Lord in heaven laughs at the raging of the nations. Nation A rages against nation B in wars. And the Lord in heaven laughs at the futility of broken men and women who think that violence and war are the answer for everything. So, what about good repute? Bill Haley, he died several years ago. I would meet with Bill Haley once a week. I just wanted to hear him talk. He had just this way about him. He was a Marine. He was in the Korean War. And I just loved talking to Bill Haley. I loved talking to Bill Brown. I say a man of honor that keeps his word, Mason. Bill Brown. What about you? Something that's of a good repute, a reputation that's good. Anything you can think of on that one? What do you think? Philip, what do you think?
Would it be controversial to say the church? Because I think even though there's been some bad history, sure, a lot of it's been good.
Mm-hmm.
The bride of Christ is something that,
yes,
strives to do.
That's so good. Yeah. Yeah, that is so good. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Someone else? Things that are good, good reputation. What about this highly charged political word, virtue, arete? That would be like saying political correctness, and Paul takes it to the cross and submits it to the values of Jesus. What do you think? What is virtuous for us as Christians today? What do you think? Yeah, that's good. That's good. Here's something that could transform a relationship. Have you ever, maybe your parents treated you in such a way, have you ever had that experience where you're getting the car keys and your mom and dad are going to let you take the car or something like that, and your mom, your dad kind of square your shoulders and they look you deep in the eyes and they say, look, I want you to remember who you are and how much we love you. And we think that you're incredible. Have fun. But remember who you really are. Anybody experience that? You're grinning, Mason. Those kind of concepts can kind of engender virtue inside of us, right? Can you imagine doing the opposite and saying, here's the keys, here's $20. Would you please get out of my hair? I can't stand being with you. You are the most annoying, pitiful thing. Please, just leave. Do you think that's going to engender arete, Christian virtue? No, no. Sometimes the way we treat people, you ready for this one? Man, here's some wisdom. The way we treat people, they will respond and rise to the expectation. The way you treat them, they will, in fact, rise to the expectation. And so if Odia approaches Syntyche with this stuff and treats her as though, you know, Syntyche's really going to sneak one in on her, so she's going to get ready to block it, and here it comes, the big haymaker, then Syntyche's going to rise to that expectation, and Odia's going to say, whoa, okay, is that the way it's going to be? And so all of a sudden the relationship takes this accusatory, defensive posture, and things just get real tense. And again, bitter people, angry people are really skilled at finding what's wrong. Or if they can't find it in some new way, that this focus on what's already known to be wrong. So absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Is that something Jesus does to us? Is that something Paul did? What do you know about the Corinthian, Philip, the bride of Christ? What do you recall about the church at Corinth? Were they the ideal church?
No, they were swaddling over 40.
Dirty laundry list? It's called 1 Corinthians, right? You know how Paul starts 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians? What does he call them? better remember, what does it call them? It gives them a title, a descriptor. This is who you are. Anybody? 1 Corinthians 1, 2 Corinthians 1. To those in Corinth, saints, hagios, saints. They weren't. And yet Linda, he's giving him a concept to rise to. A virtuous idea. Hagios, to be holy. Oh, by the way, that's right there in the list. Hagios. Yeah, virtue. And if anything worthy of praise, think on these things. As I'd mentioned, it's a middle voice verb, which is a really cool way of saying, when you do this, when you do think about these eight things, you're actually helping yourself. It's like, be good to yourself. Do good self-care. Think on these things. Okay. Anybody else? You're the body of Christ. Let's wrap it up. I want to hear from you. Justin? Yeah, yeah. I think you're very wise, Justin. For me, this is my thought on this. When it comes to my motivations, okay, if I am motivated out of fear, I burn out.
Yes.
Right? If I'm motivated out of ego, my need to be approved by you,
right,
I burn out.
Right.
On either side, right? But if my motivation is what Jesus has accomplished in me, this amazing word called grace, and how he accepts me because he is all of these things and I am not, and yet he treats me as though I am honorable and I am loved, that is a sustainable long-term motivation for me. So you're right. If I do this for self-care in honor of God, then all of a sudden life becomes bearable for me.
Yeah. You know, like yesterday, I was doing a mountain bike ride, and I just so happened to have the pleasure of being with another believer that I just met from Memphis. And so halfway into our bike ride, we're now on the topic of God and his grace in our life and things of that nature. It was almost like kind of saying the truth about who God is in our lives, even though we had just met each other. And it's those course corrections that constantly get it back to the main thing, which is sin is not against another person, it's against God. Doing the right thing is not to bless somebody else because you're doing it, because that's what, you know what I mean? Like, he's got to be in the middle of it.
Yes.
All the time, where you will eventually pervert whatever you're doing into something that is self-serving.
Yeah, yeah. We need each other, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, and Brian, this accountability. We need it, man. We need each other. By the way, did you win the race?
Oh, yeah. Well, we both won because we had a great time together.
There you go. Good answer. See, that's a Pinos. That's worthy of praise right there. Worthy of praise. So,
he's a great guy.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's incredible. So, someone else, just a point of wisdom, counsel you want to share. Tammy, I saw your hands. Anybody else? Philip?
Being a good repute. Having a good reputation in your organization.
Yeah.
Being seen as honorable and carrying out the things that you believe in.
Yeah.
And doing it without hesitation, without fear of repercussions.
Yeah.
is truly worthy of praise.
Yeah, it is.
It really is.
Yeah.
And that is not always easy.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I got here pretty early this morning, and when I came in, someone had organized all the coffee pot dispensers and the filters and two packs of coffee in each filter, and it was all organized out so that whoever is going to come to get the coffee ready, that's at Pinos, that's worthy of praise. They were serving, and they served in a way that was excellent. Very, very kind. Someone else, point of counsel that you want to share? Philip?
Chris?
Yep.
I was going to say, I like how there's two commands in this section of the passage too, to dwell on all those things, and then to practice those things.
Yeah.
And then the reward, the God of peace will be with you.
Yeah.
I won't say I'm ever strong in any gift, but in peace, I've learned that doing things of good intent and following through with them, if it's in God's favor, it gives you a peace of mind immediately. Peace is not delayed. It happens then, because even in a culture like right now, there's a ton of negative news. Mm-hmm. If you surround yourself with negative news and negative thoughts, it impacts you in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
But if you seek and do virtuous things then and there, positive things are introduced into your life. And that peace that you get with God is really, I can go through any high or low and storm in life and know that my standing with God is just, you know, where it needs to be.
Good stuff. Thank you. Thank you. There's just something that feels good inside when you do the right thing. You know, this feels good. Anybody else? Mason, yes, sir.
I started smiling because my mom, from an early age, especially when she would drop us off at friend's house, she would leave the house, she would say, "Remember whose you are." And I used to like scoff at it and be like, "Yeah, yeah, I know.
This is so good, Mason. Yes. Yes. Someone else? Or Stephen, anybody from Facebook? Okay. Okay. Thank you, Jennifer, for what you said earlier. So. So remember, you've heard me say that we're going to get in trouble if we are high feeling, low thinking, right? It's called Facebook. Not all of Facebook. I'm sorry. This is the opposite of that. Think on these things. Logits este. It's the big power verb. Logic. Right. It's about thinking. It's about, in fact, it's really a critical term. And it's not saying let this be a passing thought. You need to stop and really academically focus on this. You need to fire up the front lobes and give critical intellectual effort about the understanding and the practicing, Philip, of these things. Critically think about this stuff, dwell on them, reckon, do the math, literally do the math. Cipher this out, do the math, think critically about these virtues in this list. So, all right, this has been so good, and I'm excited. So, one of the dearest people in my life who I think exhibits these qualities, and I would add humility, and then I would also add humility, and then besides that, humility, and that this person, they're going to be so mad at me when I call them out. They're, I have so much respect and love for this person. It's Kayla Derrick, and I know you're mad at me. So Kayla has one of the most virtuous, kind spirits I have ever seen. Just being around her is like an antibiotic to this crazy world that we live in. And guess what? She's going to help lead us in worship this morning. And her voice is as beautiful as her heart. And Kayla, thank you. And I just put like real pressure on you now. You know, you better deliver, you know? So it's because I love you. So. She serves. She loves, she cares, she serves. Ben, amazing guy. I'm grateful. And thank you, Kayla, for just living this out. You live this out to me. You do. I want to pray, and I want to get our hearts ready, my heart ready. Abba, Father, I thank you for Kayla, Derek, Ben. Thank you for everybody that's here, and how as individuals and corporately, we reflect these things, and you've called us to this. God, it's good. And it's good for us to think about these things, and when we do, we're really starting to think about you. I'm just grateful that you are so kind and your mercy is unending. God, we're going to sing. We're going to put words of appreciation, gratefulness, adoration to melody and song. And we're going to try to say thank you. And Stephen's going to do it. And Joe and now Kayla, what a gift. Lord, help us put these things into words to you and say thank you and worship. Lord, I love you and I'm so grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.